Blog Talk Radio.
I thought I was going to say it. I was like, where'd it go? Hello, everybody. It's the Spiritual Detox for Divas with Jennifer Diva and Amy R. Brooks. How's everybody doing today? Yeah.
I'm so excited.
We were sitting here talking about microphones and how you record and listen and you are using a microphone. See, these are the fascinating things we talk about, people.
Yeah. Sexy. Super sexy.
Too bad they couldn't answer a fact. Like that we're like talking and then they're like, yeah, that's what happens when you use the microphone. Like instant conversation. Like they can actually talk about.
I think it's Google. That's what you do. You like write it and someone be like, this is how you do it.
We would like to Google
this.
So we are on day 3 of our podcast and day 3 of our 12 days of giveaways. How fun is that? Like, people are having
it's so fun.
So much fun with that.
Mm-hmm. And the excitement is good. I'm excited now because they have been going out. So I'm like envisioning all these book excerpts like flying through the air, Santa style, like, and showing up in everyone's inboxes, which I'm visualizing like stockings. And then they're opening it, and I'm hoping people are like smiling and feeling like we're talking to them. And if they're nervous, you know, that they give it a chance and see, you know, how it makes them feel in general, not like every specific thing, but how it makes them feel in general to kind of have a conversation around spirituality that's not religious.
Right, and that it doesn't feel like it's hard to absorb. You know, like I found that in I'll read, you know, certain books, of course, I'll read and then I'll go back over it again and then I'll go back over it again and I think to myself, this isn't enjoyable. I don't want to have to, it's enough to find the time to read a book, let alone if I have to read it 3 times, still don't really absorb it. It doesn't, and then I think to myself, why am I doing this? You know, I want to enjoy, I don't want to feel like I am, you know, needing a PhD to figure this literature out. I'm like, what is going on? So I love that this book is just so flowy and like you're reading a conversation. You're just reading a conversation. But you learn.
Yeah, the intro is not in dialogue format, but the intro, I think the tone is very like conversational, like, hey, you know, this book, and that we want everyone to read the introduction. It's called Super Important Introduction.
Right.
So that part is like, it truly is. That part is really important. And that's why when we, I thought it was so important to have that in the giveaway because we want people to get the overall point of why we wrote it. And we really want people to know that it's okay not to agree with everything. I know I've already said that even once on this podcast, but in previous ones we said it. In the book we say, yeah, it's so important. Like, no doctrine here. This is not like, if you're going to be a progressive spiritual woman, you must believe A, B, and C. Like, it's I think that's huge for people who were raised with a very specific religion, whether they still practice it or not. It does not matter. When you hear about a bundle of ideas, you think it's all or nothing. You're in or you're out. You're good or you're bad. It's heaven or hell. You're whatever, you know, and this isn't.
Right.
And that's kind of, that makes people feel weird sometimes.
Right.
Okay.
And I believe that there are going to be quite a few people that there'll be something in there that doesn't directly resonate with them. And that's the whole thing about doing the sneak peek was that we wanted people to really have a chance to look at it and be able to say, okay, this resonates or this doesn't, because it's about finding what your power is, what works for you, what, you know, what your true energy is, you know, like when you're doing something, like there are certain things that I personally don't attach to. It just doesn't, you know, I don't judge it, but I'm
like
what?
No, just for fun. Is it a secret?
No, like for me, meditating, for me, I prefer guided meditations. Unless I'm meditating.
I'm the opposite.
Like, that's what I'm saying. So for me, it's just easier for me. I like the visualization. I mean, of course, I meditate differently. And we talked about this in the book, I think. I can't even remember sometimes because about how, you know, when I meditate, it isn't just for that relaxing purpose.
I said that. I said, you were the first person that I ever So I'll use meditation in like a session or for a service or for healing. I always had thought about, and it's the thing, I don't know why I just thought of swimming. Like some people swim to play around and have fun. Some people swim to calm down. Some people swim for to get in shape. Some people swim because they're competitive and they're like competing. I think it's fascinating that it's the same pool of water, but people are using it in different ways and it can serve all of their needs simultaneously almost. You do?
I like that. I like that analogy. I like that a lot.
It just popped into my brain out of nowhere. Thanks, Mama.
That was
so
good.
We'll remember the swimming pool. Because I noticed that. Like, when I go to the pool, I'm like, some people are so serious about, like, swimming their laps. And then my kids are like, yeah, they're playing water polo. Or not water polo. What's it called? Marco Polo. And then, you know, it's, like, all in the same pool. And I can't play it. I can't hear out of one ear. So it's like, yeah, I can never tell where the sound's coming from. So
I'm
the idiot that's like,
I wouldn't be about that life either. I'm like, no, I'm not going to Marco Polo. But yeah,
I totally opt out of that game.
So when I do the guided, you know, the guided meditations for me are the relaxing thing. So like when I meditate and I don't, and I'm not listening to anything and I'm just, you know, doing like the healing or listening for any messages, guidance, whatnot. But when I truly want to relax, I guide it all day long. So that doesn't run. So if I was to read, if I were to read a book that was strictly just on meditation and how to just meditate for yourself, that would not resonate with me.
I don't want to read that book
meditation,
either.
I would be like, all right, I will do that. So there's just certain things like what's going to stick, you know, what's going to stick and it doesn't have to be everything. So I think it's important that we keep saying that because I want, and I know you do, we want
and a
people
blend.
To, yeah, we want people to understand that. And I think that that's, with so many things, I found myself saying this quite a few times lately and with different people. You know, people were running into things about if someone in their life had done something, you know, if they had really said this, did they really do this? And they, you know, not admitting to it or somebody, you know, questioning it, whatever. Anyways. And I keep giving the same advice. Like, what if, so say all of that happened, like worst scenario kind of stuff, then what?
Mm-hmm.
Then you operate from there. So to me, when you're looking at a book like this and you say, okay, so what if nothing, so what if nothing resonated with you today? It might, another day, you might come to a point where you grab it and you're like, because I've done that. Have you done that? Where you get something and you're like, I'm not really sure what purpose this is going to serve, but I know it's going to serve something. And then you almost forget about it, and then you go back to it, and you're like, oh, my gosh, I have this, and it's divinely, like, right what I needed right now. Does that make sense? Like, that happens to me all the time.
I keep wanting to say something sassy, and I don't know if I should because it's a
say
little
it.
Too sassy.
The sass.
I know you do, but I don't know if other people do. So
everybody loves the sass.
So,
go.
Assume, I like to always say, like, assume the best in everyone. So y'all assume the best in me. But my sassiness is when you tell people they have the freedom and free will and they have the choice and they have the responsibility to make those choices, sometimes people shirk that responsibility and they're like, I don't want it. I want someone to tell me what the answer is. And when we keep saying that they have to figure out what resonates with them, that means they have to do the work and they have to try things. And I know sometimes when I'm in a house of worship that doesn't resonate with me, instead of me resisting that, it helps me, I try to switch it so that it helps me define what I do believe in. It helps me kind of become clear with what I do believe. Does that make sense? Instead of it being like, oh, I wasted my time. Like, yeah, so if you read the book, and for instance, I want to be as horny for crystals as some of y'all are. I mean, people talk about crystals like it's something else way better, like way,
I'm trying
to keep it clean here. Yeah, people talk about crystals like they're another lover. Like they're like, oh my gosh, my.
Like the yoni.
And
egg.
Yoni.
Yoni.
Yeah, yoni.
Universal number eight. The yoni egg. There's no such thing as
yoni egg.
That's a good idea. I'm going to trademark
I have a yoni egg. I have, you're so silly. The uni is in my yoni. Like, it's all one. I am, my yoni is very powerful.
Oh my gosh. So thanks, because I would have never known what that was. I think I saw it on a talk show or something. Anywho, explain what the yoni egg is since I went there. So people are like, what's the yoni egg?
Oh my gosh. This is related, and it's not in the book. We're trying to talk about things broader than the book. So all of this fits, so I'll allow it, and I will talk about the yoni egg.
Thank you.
So
thank
yoni
you
egg.
For allowing.
The yoni egg is a crystal, and unlike raw, unpolished crystals, this is a very smooth egg-shaped crystal, and it comes in three sizes generally. I don't know more than three. It can either be drilled or not drilled. If it's drilled, it has a little cord chain or whatever, something hanging down from it, and you put it in your yoni. Only women have yonis. It is about your reproductive organs, the center of life, your vagina, if you will. And so the yoni egg, which is a crystal, and there are different crystals that serve different purposes and provide different levels of power and different, what should we say, different, I keep wanting to say skills, different.
I don't know, you're the yoni expert.
Healing. I'm not a yoni expert. Oh my goodness, let's say that right now.
I don't
know.
So
have.
I don't have yoni.
You have,
so you're more of an expert.
You have a
yoni.
You're a woman.
A yoni to put in my yoni.
You don't have a yoni.
I don't have a yoni egg.
You don't have a yoni egg. Yes, egg.
I have
okay,
a yoni.
So I haven't seen it, but I trust that you do. So
I'm just saying, because I just wanted to be clear about that, because I just said I don't have a yoni. I don't want there to be a big rumor that I don't have a yoni. Like, what does she have? Like, she doesn't have that? Well,
she's a Barbie doll. She just is completely
my panties are covering nothing.
Okay.
Go on.
Hopefully, okay. I was thinking this is for divas, so we can talk gynecologically here. So, okay, back to my yoni egg is a rose quartz, which is, you can speak better to what that serves, but I know that definitely love and the heart, am I right? The heart chakra, like it serves, it supports your love and accepting love and being at peace with love. And so that's the rose quartz is one of those, again, I want you to chime in, Liz, one of those crystals that really everybody could use more of in their life. I feel like there are other ones that are more specific, like the black obsidian or the jade, like those were serving like for healing past pains and for absorbing heat and anger. And like, they seemed way more specific that maybe it wouldn't apply to everybody, but the rose quartz was kind of like the default. And I felt like I really wanted an amethyst one too. And that's more of your crown chakra. I know you and I both really like amethyst. So that's next on my yoni egg thing. But the point of all this, you might be like, why have it and what do you do with it? You wear it just like you would, you know, for a woman, like a tampon or a diva cup or Benoit balls. Like there, it serves multiple purposes, and it really does help the physical functionality of your yoni, your vagina. And it also can help with your spiritual practice and finding energetic balance. So instead of it serving like an exercise ball that you can buy to strengthen your pelvic floor, this can serve lots of purposes. So, you know, I went into the yoni egg and crystals and all these other things and jewelry and what you have around you and cleaning and charging, and I enjoy all of that. I just don't like, I'm not insanely in love. Like the way some people talk about it, I feel like that's not my experience. But then I get like super gaga about other things, like the past lives conversation. When you talk to me about my past lives, like it changed my current life. I mean, it was just a really easy shift that gave me a sense of purpose and drive that I never knew before. And so somebody else might be like, oh, that's interesting about my past lives. And, like, nothing majorly shifts for them.
Right.
So
that's the thing. It's like, what is it? Because it'd be just one thing, say it's one thing out of 50, you know, that you expose yourself to. It really does change things. If you introduce it into your life, and see, and that's the other thing. Like, I was going to go back. I'm interrupting myself. When you said about people hearing about having the responsibility and whatnot, that, you know, then they have to do the work.
Mm-hmm.
And people really do tend to, well, not everybody, of course, but when you say that, they kind of shut down, like, I got enough.
I know, it's sassy. That's why I was worried it was too sassy.
That wasn't sassy. I thought you were going to, like, drop something, like, scandalous. I was, like, getting all excited. I was like, bring on the sass, and you're like.
I'm saying, now I got to up it. I was saying that people are lazy, that they don't want to do the work. They want someone to tell them what to do and the rules to follow. And, yeah. you know, they're either in or they're out, or, like, you're born into something, and that's the way it is, and everybody else is wrong. Like, that's kind of sassy. Like, people could get really angry that I'm accusing them of being lazy.
Yeah, that's it. But it's a trigger, and it's something that, you know, well, just guiding them to something that they obviously might want to look into a little bit, right?
I know.
We all have those things. Which that reminded me of, you were saying, you know, like having it laid out in front of them. This is what you need to do and whatnot. Well, so the homework that we have in the book,
that does transition.
Yeah, that does facilitate the. What you were just talking about, where you, it's not so overwhelming where you're like, okay, now what do I do with this? You know, I read about this. You guys are having this conversation. Now what? You know, and
the homework made
out.
All the difference.
Really?
I think the homework, like, it makes all the difference because, and it's funny because we kept talking about the idea of homework, but it was. It did not materialize. It did not materialize until the 11th and a half hour. But that was okay because then I really feel like a lot of people, side note on books, you know, you don't always understand the scope of your book until you're done. And then you can take a step back and be like, oh, I get it. I see the overarching. We talked about that in chapter 12. Like, what's the main message? Like, what's the takeaway? And you can't have that conversation in the beginning. You have to let things unfold and happen with divine timing and really kind of show up for you as they're supposed to. So the homework, though, I think we recognize, it's kind of cool that we recognized how integral and important and necessary it was. We just didn't know what it was going to be exactly until everything was over.
And you know, I call you out on stuff. It's so funny. You don't, like, you're not a stress. Like, if I'm like the super chill that's like, whatever, it'll happen. It'll happen.
Yeah, it'll happen, but sometimes you got to get your...
What do you think about the homework? I'm like, it'll come. It'll come.
It was just empty boxes. They were just empty boxes at the end of every chapter.
But that's why
and
you and
I
balance
you,
each other
like,
out.
I text
yeah, like,
you, like, remember the
like,
homework.
It'll come. It's just like when I'm working with people and I say to them, I'm not, because every client I work with, I give them homework. But it's not me, so I don't have, it's not like I go down and I have like this textbook and I say, okay, well, this is what they're dealing with, or this is what we worked on, and we're going to do this. So I'll be like, you're going to have homework, don't ask me what it is. Because sometimes it comes right to me, and sometimes it's like, you're going to have to wait for a message from me, as to what it's going to be. So it always just comes when it's ready. It just
I like that word homework because I don't have a problem with school. I really enjoy school.
You were a teacher for 16 years.
Yeah, that too. But I enjoyed it too. Like, not everybody likes certain things even though they've been in it. And so some people, the word homework, like, I get nervous when I do book coaching. Like, I'm like, do you want me to call it homework? I did a group of teens in a book writing club over the summer, and they voted not to use the word homework. So instead I said, this is your mission if you choose to accept it. At the end of every,
I didn't
use the word. And so then they could opt in or not. Like, it was totally if you choose to accept it. So should we change that in the book? This is your mission. No, I like homework, and here's why. The ideal homework assignment is one that is an extension of what was learned, check. It is a way to practice skills that were introduced, check. And three, it is a way to make whatever the information or lesson that was learned part of you so that you can own it and you can, like, it's yours. And I feel like all of our homework is exactly that. Like, it is work that you do at home in the privacy of your domicile, by yourself. Like, it's something that you get to pursue in an independent way. And I also like that you didn't mention, I don't think, that we have options. So you don't have to do, I put in there and or between each one because you'd have like two or three options and they could do one and two and three, or they could do one or two. Or so that's where the and
people
or.
Like options. We like options.
People love options. Oh, menu. Hello, menu. You don't go to the restaurant with one item. Let me choose. What do I want today?
Here you go. Eat it. My daughter would be
rude.
She'd be like,
that's
fine.
I'm sorry, that's dinner table though. So at home for dinner, like, this is what you get and you don't get upset. But yeah, when
you do that.
Choosing,
is this what you get? Don't throw a fit. Do you say that? Do you do that?
No, I say you get what you get. You don't get upset. And then,
that's
like, sometimes
say.
I'll stop early. Yeah, I'll stop short. They go, and we won't get upset. Like, they, like, finish the phrase for me because I say it ad nauseum. I used to say that to my students all the time. I'm really annoying. I would say things too, like, clean up
because
everybody
I'm
everywhere.
I'm really annoying.
I know this about myself, and I don't care. If it gets the job done and we're all better for it, like, somebody's got to be annoying sometimes. And sometimes that's Amy. I'm annoying.
Like,
it gets done.
I choose me.
Mm-hmm.
I choose. Somebody's got to do it. I nominate myself.
Yeah. And I am the fall guy. Like, my husband's totally stepped up. My husband, Brian. Now we're
Thank
three
you.
For three.
Oh, my God.
You mentioned
I
him
say,
in every podcast.
You
no,
just
I
say Brian.
And keep it moving. Like, who is that? Neighbor? Dog? Friend? I don't know.
Husband?
Maybe stuffed animal.
You
but
say
it's
husband,
my husband,
and then you're like, that's Brian.
Yeah. He's stepped up lately with the bad cop. For so long, I would go all day being the bad cop at school, you know, being the disciplinarian, being the strict taskmaster. And then I would come home to my three jumpy, bumpy boys, and I would have to do that again. And I would go to bed at night like, I am the person everyone hates. Like, that's just my role in life. I get to be, like, the unfun. And when I was fun, I'm such a dork that it was like, she's one, like, spaz or strict. So he's really stepped it up lately, and I'm feeling more of the balance. And yeah, so I think
when you're in your office. What were we talking about the other day that was making me laugh about the office? You like had like three coffee cups and like.
It was a graveyard.
I don't even know what.
That's what it was. Because I will stink up the office. Yeah, so
everything
I'll be in my office with
like
the door closed.
Yeah.
I
was saying,
yeah. So
like, I don't sweat. You're like, oh, well, good for you.
Yeah, that was annoying. So you got to have a turn at being a. You know what? You know what's annoying? And I think I'm going to use that word again. I don't care. Is that when people say after a project that's like fun and light and fresh, that people are like, there was a lot of work involved. And you're like, shut up. It's a fun, fresh project. Like, there was no work involved. But there really was work involved. There were, like, piles of coffee cups. And today I was debating with you whether I should take up smoking cigarettes because coffee is making me so edgy. And I'm like, really? I got down on the floor in the child's pose because I'm like, and I'm done. And I'm like, child's pose on the floor. I'm like, what if I should start skiing, and I know that's stupid, and I'm joking.
You were having a moment. It was like a moment of like you had to get that out. Like I need something. I need to relax for a minute.
Well, and I'm gonna tie this back to the book because in that moment I was thinking I need some sort of non-addictive drug, and I was like, if I drink wine, it's like 10:30. If I drink wine, that's a dangerous road, and then I won't be able to concentrate because I'll be like too relaxed. And so this is how important this is to this book. There are people who are just like me who are like, I got to drink, I got to smoke, I got to whatever. And so because I don't have those vices readily available or something stopped me, I had to resort to yoga. I had to resort to the child's pose or wrap around back to meditation. I can't go from that, like feeling like I'm shaking and my heart is racing and like, oh my gosh, I don't want to be in the state. I can't go from that to meditation. So what I do is there are lots of free apps, and I have I did purchase three sets actually of the Deepak Oprah meditation, and just turning that on, the music starts, Oprah starts, like they're nice and calm. I don't know if Oprah was flipping out before she got on there, but she's calm. So I just kind of sync my breathing with her and get calm, and then hello Deepak. Oh good gosh. He starts talking, and it's like someone smeared butter all over me, and life is smooth again. It's heaven. And then he gets quiet. Then he says, as he always does, I'll mind the time. You will hear a ringing of the bell.
Oh, yes, the 21-day.
When
I
you
love
are
those, yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So
I'll mind the time, and then the bell goes ding.
Every time he says, I'll mind the time, I'm like, thank you. I don't want to mind the time.
Yeah.
So he, like – he has the stopwatch, he rings the bell, and that's when I do my quiet meditation. It's a really good, like, 20 minutes from start to finish, but when you start Oprah, and this is so important, when you start Oprah, you could be going to the bathroom, you could be, like, I don't know, like, getting your blankets and pillows ready. Like, I use that as a serious transition from manic, like, Oprah's, like, calming me down from that, and then Deepak talks for a little bit, and I start to get seated. By the time he says you can close your eyes or whatever and get comfortable, like, I'm there. So
this
anyway.
This is a 21-day. Oprah and Deepak do a 21-day meditation that you can sign up for.
For
so
free.
That up,
well, you,
for free. It's totally
it's
free.
Every,
they even have, you can even put notes. Have you ever done that when you do it, that you can put notes?
That's too much. Yeah.
But
yeah.
I'm just saying, for people that want to do that, it's very, like, it's free. But it has a lot of good, you know, there's a lot of good stuff that comes with it. If you want to, you know, take notes on, you know, what came to you during that meditation,
mm-hmm.
that would be a really full to do, like, when they're, you know, reading this book and they get, you know, to the intuition and, you know, connecting and, you know, getting answers for themselves and, you know, the stuff on the cards, like, when people are like, I don't know, I've never, you know, I don't know that I'm intuitive, I you know, because everybody is, like, when you all say, you're more intuitive than you think. Like, oh,
mm-hmm.
my God. You know, when people say that. But when you're getting in, you know, becoming familiar with that, that 21-day meditation would be a perfect, like, exercise to do after that. Like, when you become inspired by, like, ooh, I really do want to, you know, I want to look into that a little bit more. But
mm-hmm.
that 20 minutes and then the ding, you know, then pay attention to what came to
you. And then he sometimes talks a little bit afterwards. You release the mantra. Like, I love the format of it so much. So I lead meditations for other people, and I still meditate in them, but it's not the same as having someone else do it for you. But I totally copy the format because I love it so much. I love, and most people need, at minimum, a little bit of guided meditation.
Yeah.
And then they need some, and sometimes I make suggestions for a mantra. You know, he generally has one, but I'll say, like, you know, you could use this, or you could do that, or you could just count, you know, just to see. And then I always talk to people before and afterwards, too, which I really like. It's like, what are your expectations, and how was it for you? And hearing what everybody says is fascinating. I was going to say that people should know that you can buy those because they're only free during those 21 days that they
yes.
do. I swear it's like every month and a half or something. It always
yeah,
feels like it's
email.
Every other
yeah.
month. Yeah, so go on the show.
We talked about interrupting.
Mm,
I wanted to say this because, what is it, like,
not
we only
much
have, like,
longer.
3 minutes.
I
want you to tell really quick about Deepak talking about Trump's root chakra, because you do the best.
Oh, my gosh.
Right? Because it goes back to talk about chakras in the book, and you're talking about Deepak, and this is a perfect example of
oh
why
my God.
Chakras are important.
Yeah, but he was, well, and it's a little bit controversial because it's Trump and it's our politics, but he basically said, like, that, you know, Trump, he comes at things from his root chakra, and he responds to things with a reptilian brain. And he was on Conan, I think, and Conan's like, his root chakra, where is his root chakra? And he's like, they're located in the genital area, his penis. And he said penis, like, twice, and Conan's like, I know what the genital, you know, like, I know what that is. It's funny that that's actually the second Conan reference, because you saw the yoni egg thing.
Oh,
that
yes.
was also on Conan. So Conan is, like,
Conan's
bringing it up. Like, he's like, on the DL, or, like, down low, like,
oh, I think
it's
like 90
pretty cool.
seconds.
No, it said 60 seconds.
Did
so we have to remind... You did. Yeah, we just got our countdown. So we are so excited about the giveaways. Tomorrow we're going to start with some guests. So day four we're going to have some guests on the show talking to us about how they feel about these topics, and we're going to jam with them.
I know. I'm super excited about that. I'm super, super excited
yeah.
about that. Okay,
yeah,
I think
12 days of podcast.
Goodbye, everybody. Have a great Saturday or Monday or Friday, whatever you're listening to us. Bye-bye for
now. It doesn't matter. Bye-bye for now. We'll talk to you later. Tomorrow.
Bye.